The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
And welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. I'm Roland Hill, joined here by Sheldon Hill. We have a pretty good show coming up for you today. We've got D. Greer, who will be joining us in a minute. Yeah, I think he called you. He's on the freeway.
He's on his way.
And we've got some other stuff, you know, the draft, what happened in the draft, Honey Badger went, and what else we got, Shelley?
Got a little bit of hockey today, a little bit of baseball, but
hockey?
Yeah, hockey.
Hockey?
Sidney Crosby broke his jaw a couple weeks ago, got hit in the face with a puck, and he decided he
okay,
wanted to
come
back
tonight. Okay, what's new? You go to a hockey fight and the game breaks out.
Yeah, essentially. Last night, though, the Ducks, they were down by 3 goals in the third period.
The Ducks, are they from Iowa?
Anaheim.
You mess
with my Ducks.
Donald
right
Duck?
No, the Mighty Ducks. That's what we're talking about. So the series is tied 1-1.
Are they really
1-1.
Called the Mighty Ducks?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
When there's a movie, a Disney movie
that's
called exactly the Mighty Ducks?
That's exactly why.
Really?
That's exactly why, yeah. That movie wasn't based off of the team. But the team kind of just rolled with it, sounded good. They got the little quackers in the stadium, so it's all good out there.
And it's in Anaheim. Is it
in
close
Anaheim.
To Disneyland? Or
right
is it played in Disneyland?
Right around the corner from it.
Right around the corner from
yeah.
Disneyland. Okay.
So it's
the
all
mighty
good.
Mighty Ducks. The mighty, mighty Ducks.
Basketball-wise, a lot of playoff games tonight. It should be really exciting.
You now, who was eliminated so far?
The Bucks played the Heat. They were down 4-0. Last night, the Nuggets lost to the Warriors in a thrill of a game.
So is that over? They go back to Denver? Or?
Yeah, they're done.
They're done.
They pack up. They go home. Go on vacation.
Clean out your locker.
Whatever they want to do.
Take a cruise to the Bahamas.
But you got the Rockets and the Thunder. You've got Nets and Bulls going to Game 7. Boston and New York, as a matter of fact. That's going to be a really good game. Game 6 tonight. Boston wins. They force a Game 7.
So that's are you still talking basketball?
Yes, sir. I'm talking basketball.
Oh, okay.
That's
I
a big thing.
Off there a minute.
Big
I,
thing
a
now,
show.
Nowadays. Oh, we're going to get to football. Don't worry. We'll get to football.
You're going to rearrange the furniture. We're joined here by D. Greer. He's rearranging the furniture. This is your first time here. You've been here before.
Hey, man. The chair is trying to get in a little baby chair.
That's planned. That's planned.
That's usually how it goes.
That's so we can talk to you. You know what I mean? So. We don't feel intimidated, and you'll answer our questions. Welcome to the show, D. Greer here. D. Greer, for some of you that don't know, especially those of you that are out of the state or out of town, D. Greer is the youth football guru here in Arizona and pretty much across the United States, wouldn't you say, D.?
Pretty much. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Engineer, he's on three. I forgot to tell you. But, yeah, so tell us a little bit about let's back up. What got you into youth football? What motivated you to get involved in youth football?
Now, pretty much when my son turned 7, he wanted to play football. And I went to the first meeting, signed him up, and they said, hey, you know what? We don't have a coach. And they were going to give everybody the refunds. And they said, unless somebody in this room wants to be the coach, you guys will get refunds. And I looked around, and I was saying, someone, please raise your hand.
And, you didn't want to raise your hand.
Didn't want to raise my hand.
Oh, hey, wait, before we go any further. Before we go any further, I was at a party one night, right? We're at a party. D was there. Damian Anderson was there. And, you know, you have small talk and conversation about whatever, the food or the kids or something. These guys got napkins, and they're writing plays. They're writing plays.
Right. You do what you got to do with what you have.
This is 3-4. What is it, in the middle of July or something? Like, what even football season?
It's always football season.
Huh?
It's always football season.
Here at Planet Gridiron, right?
Yeah. Always. Always ready to play.
So I take it you took on the job and you went on to coach that season?
Yeah, we raised our hands. Had a buddy, had a son as well, same age, and we kind of looked at each other and said, we're going to have to coach, huh? And pretty much the rest is history.
And so you started coaching. How'd you guys do that year?
We did pretty good. I just finished playing ball myself, and that's why I kind of just wanted to not be a dad that played football out there. I just wanted to kind of just be a dad,
Right, right.
With everything, and you know, we got into it and started learning. We had the Mighty Mites, so we had 7 year olds, and you know,
was it flag or tackle?
It was tackle.
It was tackle.
Yeah, he had played flag football prior to that. Okay. I helped coach that, and but you know, it was like, you know, 40 minutes a week.
Right. How do you feel about kids at that age playing contact football?
I have no problem with the kids playing that way, as long as the coaching is they're teaching tackling drills versus collision drills. I think it's all good.
Right. Okay. And so what age are we talking? Are we talking seven. Six, seven? At seven?
Seven
for pads?
Yeah, seven. So they actually have now what's called Tiny Mites. They have the 5 to 7 year olds. They just kind of run around, call them bobbleheads.
Yeah, yeah. We know that one well. Efren broke his arm playing that. Remember, he had the green cast.
Yeah,
broke his arm. He's going to do flag this year though. Okay. Flag for a couple of years, and then we'll move back into pads. But anyway, go ahead, Sheldon.
What's your opinion of heads-up football? Do you have any idea what it is?
Which heads-up football? There's a couple. The CDC has heads-up football concussion. That's pretty good. It's a great class. It's a free class. We actually utilize it across AYF. We've actually mandated it, American Youth Football National, that every single coach has to take that class. It's a free 20-minute class.
What is heads-up football for those listeners?
Heads-up football, there's a couple different organizations, but the one I was referring to is the one where the national one where the NFL comes in and they help teach how to tackle properly.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
It's head coaches. They come in and they teach how to tackle with your head up, not looking down at the ground, not to spear, that kind of stuff, just to get kids
aware. So if you can't see it, don't hit it.
Essentially, because if the way I was taught as a kid was, if you're looking at the ground, that's exactly where you're going.
Right.
So you always want your head up and it protects your neck as well. Coaches mm-hmm. say that with the helmet, you're not going to break your neck. That's not necessarily true, because you take a bad angle, you take a bad hit, that neck snaps. It's a bad situation for that kid.
So there's a program, a movement, a push to teach these kids how to tackle properly, to keep their heads.
Well,
as a matter of fact.
Last year when I was coaching, there was a situation back east where a kid did get hurt making a tackle, and he was saying that his coaches taught him to tackle that way, which is exactly why heads-up football came about.
Well, of course he did. They were probably in litigation, but that's besides the point, you know?
I mean, it came out that, you know.
Do you have many injuries here in Arizona?
No, I mean, you know, there's the standard injuries you get, you know.
Yeah, nothing
every
serious.
Every now and then there's some serious injuries, but I haven't experience any serious injuries,
which comes with the sport.
Seven. Yeah. But, you know, football is a violent sport. It's a dangerous sport. You know, everybody sees the disclaimers that are on the helmets themselves. But, you know, as long as the kids aren't using the helmet as a weapon and they're using it, you know, and tackling correctly and properly
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, you'll eliminate a lot of that. So we focus really on safety and uh-huh. training of our coaches. So the program you're referring to is the NFL, you know, and USA Football really got behind the heads up program. So mm-hmm. Bobby Hosea, he's based out in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
He put a program together, and USA Football and NFL adopted it. I was actually out at the USA Football NFL Youth Summit last year in Canton, Ohio, and they did a session on that, you know, classroom, et cetera, and it's pretty good. So, you know, really just taking the language out of, hey, put your head in there and, you know, stick them and doing all that, trying to just change the language around mm-hmm. you know, and teaching the kids really how to tackle. You know, American Youth Football is partnered up with the NFLPA and the Tackle Safe program. So
it's pretty much the same thing.
It's pretty much the same thing. You know, it's kind of like if you run the spread, you run the option. It's just different versions of doing it, and everyone's going to accomplish the same thing. So if we can getting kids taught to tackle safely and
right.
properly, you know, whatever the program is, as long as they're teaching to keep their heads up and not
do it the right way.
See, with me, I think, because I taught 6 to 8 year olds last year, and we didn't have any injuries, luckily. But
with
pads, yeah.
Okay.
But I felt that at that age, it's still hard for them to pay attention to learn to keep your head up. We had many scary situations, a lot of tears with kids getting hit, and so I feel maybe they should back it up a little bit, keep them in flag
until
about the age of 9 or 10, even.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of guys talk about 9 or 10.
Because it's safe, and at that age, they're more, not necessarily mature, but sports-wise, they know. They've
seen
injuries.
They can understand they're not running
around
on survival.
And they're able to figure out, oh, that hurts. You know, I shouldn't be doing that.
They're smart enough. They're not Superman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not playing superheroes out on the field. Now, as you go back to these conferences go to the meetings and whatever, you come back and you spread the news with the coaches. What is it you try to convey to the coaches here in the league, and what do you do to make the league better and safer or whatever for the kids here in Arizona?
Awareness is the biggest thing, you know. So when I go to these conferences and these meetings and these clinics, et cetera, you know, it's awareness, getting the coaches to actually attend some of these events and you know, any literature I bring back, I share.
Mm-hmm.
And
Do you have coach meeting?
Yeah, here? We meet with the administrators. Uh-huh. The administrators meet with their coaches at our different associations. We have 14 associations here in Phoenix. We have 14 associations. Nationally, you know, we have 700,000 kids and, you know, 24,000 teams.
How many?
24,000 teams. So
wow.
In American Youth Football National. So we provide these resources for these guys to get, and we mandate some certain aspects for them to implement.
So with as much protection as the kids have and stuff, do you think it's been improving the past couple of years? Do you think that the awareness of teachers, adults, coaches even, with kids has improved?
Yeah, definitely. And it's not, you know, everybody sees football as a concussion sport, but mm-hmm. really it's across all sports. So my daughter plays volleyball. And if you go to the Arizona Region website, they have a CDC class there. They have a concussion form in Arizona.
And CDC stands for?
Center for Disease Control.
Oh, the real CDC.
Yeah,
the real CDC. Sounds like we got to take a break. Find out when we come back what D. Greyer thinks is where D. Greyer thinks the best youth football is played in the country. That's after the break. Keep it right there here on Voice America Sports.
Skills. Top rank, point blank, we vital. Spit flow, rip shows, peep the recital. Skills.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Sports here on Voice America. We're sitting here talking to D. Greyer. D. Greyer, thank you for coming into the show today. We really appreciate your time coming in and explaining to us a little bit about American youth football and what you do with American youth football. Where do you see youth football going in the country in the future? Where do you see it going? Do you see it getting better? Do you see it growing? What do you see?
I see it growing. If you see the NFL and the marketing beast that it is, it's just going to keep growing. As National Football Commissioner at AYF, I get inquiries every day. You know, uh-huh. I just spoke with a gentleman from South Africa who really wants to get it going there. So, a lot of Latin America and influence. Our Panama teams. As you saw with London, we got a few teams from England starting up and calling us and doing uh-huh. that. So you saw the Steelers Vikings game sold out in I think a day.
So you think they'll be playing football down in the DR, down in Dominican Republic? They'll be playing football, and then the NFL will go down there to draft the kids because they can get them for a bag of chips, as Torrey Hunter once said.
Yes, it's definitely going to go because, you know, the Panama team actually came to our national championships and played, and uh-huh. they have some speedsters. So a lot of those kids come from the islands.
It's
pretty good.
Now, we were talking about training and heads-up football and all this stuff before the break. You know how in the NFL now the hits, the late hits, or the just hitting someone where it looks really bad, or the guy can't defend himself, whatever the rule is, and they change it. Have you guys addressed that on the field yet here at this level? Because you're taught that starting now through high school, to hit the guys, you know what I mean? And then you get in the pros and you got to change a lot of things, kind of like 1 foot in, 2 feet in, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, we teach to respect the game and to play with a lot of respect. And so our coaches are teaching and getting more knowledgeable. You know, like we said, changing the language, changing the wording, changing the philosophy, changing the history mm-hmm. that these guys have learned. So as far as late hits and dirty plays, we're really changing that, you know, across the country.
And you really talk about it with the kids.
Yeah, just, yeah. You know, with everything with the concussion, you know, football's under attack right now.
Yeah.
You know, as Joe Gallant said, that's our national president, that's what he said. He said, you know, football's under attack, mm-hmm. you know. And so everybody's on alert, you know. We're you know, all of us that are involved in football feel it and see it, and it's on the news, and that's what all they talk about is just kind of the negative pieces of it. But football is a positive sport. You know, it's done a lot for a lot of people in their lives.
Changed a lot of lives.
And,
yeah.
You know, the camaraderie that it brings and everything that you can do. So the key is for us to really implement these safety features and functions with our coaches and educate. You know, the knowledge is power. And it's going to just take the game to another level.
Right. Let's back up, and we probably should have done this in the beginning, but we'll do it now. Dee, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your college experience, any pro experience, and just kind of tell us about yourself and how you ended up here in Arizona and doing what you do.
Okay, yeah. I played youth football growing up and played high school football and played my college days at San Jose State University. I played cornerback.
You're a Spartan?
Spartan, yes, sir.
You wear green.
Yeah. Yeah. You saw they handled a bowl win last year. You know? So the guys are doing great there. I went off and played in the Canadian League for a little bit and arena football.
Okay.
And then where'd you play in the arena league?
I played in Portland and Florida.
Well, okay.
So okay. Then I was with the Baltimore franchise for a few days for the CFL. So that was when they had four teams here in the U.S.
As a corner?
As a corner.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So arena ball, I played receiver and DB. So you had to play a little linebacker. So, you know, that was when it was Ironman football. Everybody
okay.
had to go both ways. Now they scaled it back and guys just play one side of the ball now. But, you know, that's kind of my background as far as, you know, collegiately and professionally. And now I just, you know, I focus on my kids.
Right,
you know,
right. And we're going to get to your kids because there's some major things happening, man. You're super dad. Super dad.
Hey, that's what we got to do.
Okay. Now, what brought you here to Arizona?
Well, my wife, she came on a trip with a girlfriend of hers, and she fell in love with Arizona, and she was bothering me for years, and I came here for a golf tournament with some of the baseball players here, and I fell in love that weekend as well, and we just packed it up and moved out here.
Yeah, well, good.
No jobs, no nothing. We just came out and figured it out.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm an accountant. You know, I'm an account executive. I sell software at a company, local company here in North Scottsdale.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I do during the day, and then I volunteer my time in the evenings.
Well, there you go. He's always on the phone. Our kids were on the same track team, and D would stand on the fence and just talking. I didn't know what the Bluetooth was at that time. You know what I mean? I said, this guy's crazy, man. He's just standing there talking by himself, you know?
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, you were doing things. You were doing business. And you know, you've got a golf tournament coming up. Speaking of golf, you got a golf tournament coming up. And tell us, what is it for?
No, we have an annual golf tournament that benefits Arizona American Youth Football. So all the kids there, from an academic standpoint, scholarship fund, and help with general operating expenses. So a lot of the kids can't afford to play. So we raise funds for those organizations, and also a portion of it goes to national travel. So some of our teams, you know, we have, you know, our championships, our champions advance. So we raise
money for
that. Is that
big Florida trip everyone talks about every year?
That's the national championships. I put that on as a national commissioner. So we have, you know, over 135 teams down there in Florida, and we mix it up. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
We may have to go down there and broadcast from there. When is it?
Yes, you definitely got to come. It starts December 7th through 14th this year.
Okay.
In Kissimmee, Florida. Right. Uh-huh. So we'd love to have you guys.
Christmas season in Florida? I like the sound of that.
Yeah. With shorts and
you guys are in. You guys are in. You're official. It's done.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And the golf tournament this year, we just closed the deal. We're going to be at Wild Horse Pass Casino and Resort.
That's a nice course.
Yeah,
there.
Playing Whirlwind Golf Club. Cameron Ellis, the director of sales over there, great guy. We finalized that, so we're with Troon Golf again. So, mm-hmm. you know, we all of our tournaments have been at Troon. You've been there as well.
Right, right.
So Kierland and Ocotillo, and now we're going over to
Tell us a little bit about who you've had in the tournament. Who's golfed? Some of the celebrities that's been there.
It's a celebrity tournament, like you said. We have Damian's played. A lot of former Cardinals have played.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Hornacek was our starter the first year. Cedric Sabalas last year played a little bit. Mm-hmm. Multiple guys, a lot of former NFL guys.
Did I see Bert Campaneris 1 year? Is that his name?
Yes,
he was. The A's shortstop, was he?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of the Major League Baseball players. You know, some of the, you know, last year we had two Coyotes actually play.
Really?
Jason LaBarbera and Rafi Torres. Uh-huh. They played in the tournament last year. So, you know, as guys come and, you know, that have the availability, they come out there and, you know, try to help some money for
a lot
their,
of support.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, D has a son who is going to Yale. And you did it, man. I mean, well, he did it.
Yeah,
you
did.
Came to support, but I had a conversation with him one time, and he was like, he was telling me about his calculus class or his math class. And I walked away from that conversation just shaking my head, because I did not understand. But the kid is smart. He's very sharp, very sharp. Now, football-wise, how did it work out during the recruiting season? When you guys were looking for schools, what did you guys go through? In other words, kind of tell our listeners what you did as a parent to, they guided you to Yale, got you to Yale, it made you choose Yale, and what were some of your other options?
You know, as far as going to Yale, Diamani, he always wanted to go to, Diamani Gurr is my son, he wanted to go to one of the top classes, top schools in the country.
Right.
So he looked, you know, him and his mom, you know, she's you know Lisa, so she looked at the U.S. News and World Report.
Lisa Hill, by the way, Lisa Hill.
Yeah, so you know, he looked at the they looked at U.S. News and World Report, and he wanted to go to a top 10 school, and you know, of course, all the Ivy League schools popped in there. So he was getting recruited heavily by all the Ivy League schools, Northwestern and University of San Diego.
Now, did Damian have anything to say about Northwestern?
Yeah, he did. He really spoke highly of it. You know, Diamani and Lisa actually went to University of Chicago and Northwestern over the summer.
Uh-huh.
We visited a lot of schools. So when you say kind of our process, we went and visited Ivy League schools just to see what it was all about. And,
right.
You know, we came back amazed. I don't know why I didn't look that way, you know, growing
anyone,
up. It was like,
did anyone tell you?
Outside of that, we
didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
So
didn't tell me anything about it. I was like, oh, Ivy League. I'm not going to Ivy League. And then you go there and you see athletics is right up there with academics.
Right.
You know, it's pretty equal. So it's a big part of the educational experience, as we all know, which is why, you know, I love the sport of football.
Right.
You know, and it's just incredible what they do over there. And
now, I remember you guys, you went to Yale, not Yale, but Harvard. You visited Harvard.
Yeah, we visited.
Were you there with them at Harvard? Did you go to Harvard yourself?
Yeah, we did a July trip. We just drove all the
schools. Did you guys go to the stadium?
Yes.
What'd you think of that stadium? It's old, huh?
It's an old stadium, and it's classic.
It's all concrete. Yes. Concrete. And on the board there, you know, here, what do we have for, you know, like in the snack bar, it's something like, you know, hot dogs and Gatorade and stuff like that. They had clam chowder and some other stuff on the board. Yeah. Like, what? That's odd. But it was Boston, you know, clam chowder. Yeah.
Right. When he started playing sports, what did you envision him doing with that?
I just wanted him to play any sport. I didn't really have a sport for him to play. I just wanted him to play. You know, whatever he wanted to play. So he tried all the sports. He played baseball, basketball, ran track, and, you know.
Did hurdles.
Yeah, so it just came to him to say, hey, you know what, Dad, I don't want to play baseball anymore. I want to run track so I can get faster for football. I said, okay, well, that's.
At about what age was that?
That was actually in sixth grade.
That's about the age the kids find their passion.
Yeah.
That's how it was for me.
Yeah.
I know.
He just shut down baseball, and, you know, I was, you know, me looking at it, I was like, man, baseball is where it's at, you know.
Guaranteed contract.
So, you know, baseball, basketball. But, you know, it's really, I did, you know, no influence from us. You know, I was just really handling your business in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, I really, you know, you got to compete both ways, you know.
Now, he went to a special high school. Well, it wasn't a public high school. Tell us about the high school he went to.
That he went to Brophy College Prep.
Uh-huh.
Is it a well-known school? Yeah, it's a Jesuit high school.
Uh-huh.
So education is really good. It's very, very challenging, mm-hmm. the coursework there. And, you know, we just wanted to take a look at it. And, you know, he was, you know, we're in the Hamilton High School District. And, you know, Chandler High School has the IB program.
Yeah.
So he really looked at that. And that's kind of where
the IB program is the International Baccalaureate Program. Is he happy with his choice? But before that, did he really make the choice to go to Brophy? Was that his choice pretty much?
That was all his choice. So
really? Uh-huh.
We just said, hey, look, let's go do the shadow program, go through your application process. It's just a great process to go through.
As you stand there with your checkbook.
Right, yeah. I'm like, okay, is he really going to choose this? You know, I didn't think he would. He really liked Chandler High.
Yeah.
And but then when he went through the process, and, you know, really I encourage everyone to go through a process of just going to a private school and just going through the application, the test, and all the different things that you got to do, because it's actually what you're going to do, you know, getting ready to go to high school, you know, going from high school to college.
Right.
So it was a good process to go through, and he ended up choosing Brophy.
How has he enjoyed it so far?
He loves it. He absolutely loves it. The brotherhood there is, you know, it's all boys school, but the girls school is right next door. So they interact with the girls.
Is there an alumni association with that school?
Yeah, they have the alumni. You know, they're going to ask for the money all the time there. Dad's club. You know, I'm a dad's club member. My wife's a Mother's Guild member. So, So you know, it's really a community. You know, we really like it. The sports, the kids are great. You know, there's a great group of kids, and they really have some true brotherhood. They have retreats and immersion programs and all those different things that go along with it.
That's good. It's good. Well, you can I'm sure he'll definitely handle it at Yale. He'll take care of it. Does that mean we got to take a break? All right, I tell you what. Why don't we come back in 90? Keep it right there where you got it. We'll be back here right after the break here on Planet Gridiron Sports.
I've been in the kitchen whipping. Where y'all been? Been seen back from a distance. Watch the world spin. Now it's time for me to open up and chime in. Yeah. I hear them talk. They say they grind.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm
bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. All right, D. Grayer, he's going to stick around. We're going to talk a little football.
Let's talk a little professional football. A
little pro football, you betcha.
Talk about the kids. Talk about a little bit of high school. Let's get to the real stuff. Let's get to the league for a little bit. How about that?
Let's do it. What you got?
Let's talk about your Cardinals real quick. What are y'all doing?
What do you mean, our Cardinals? You in Arizona, man. They belong to you
now. I may be in Arizona, but I'm still a Raiders fan.
They belong
man.
To you.
I mean, second round of the draft. You guys have the opportunity to take Manti Te'o, and you trade that pick away to San Diego.
Yeah, we didn't need him at that time. We had Darrell Washington, but now.
Well, he's got a domestic violence case now, so what you going to do?
We didn't know that was coming up, but anyway.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second.
Keep it positive.
You have the opportunity to take Manti Te'o. I mean, he looked good in college coming out of Notre Dame, but he gets exposed in the national championship game.
But, okay, so let's go back to the trade. Why did we trade, and who did we trade with, and what did we get for the trade?
You traded with San Diego. You lost Manti Te'o. the rest is history.
But what did we get? Anybody know what we got in the trade? Why we traded?
Why exactly? Why did the Cardinals trade?
Well, I want to know what we got. What did we get? You guys keep Ken Whisenhunt or don't send him back? Or what was it?
Who knows what you guys got? I didn't hear
it. You know, the Cardinals are a smart organization. And I'm sure Kimes knew what he was doing with Bruce Arians. They knew what they were doing, and they traded because they knew who they wanted. And I don't think that they – I really don't think that Tao could play here. Well, he could play anywhere. But the Cardinals, their organization is, you know, don't cause any problems, football smarts, you know. We don't need the unwanted attention. I'd be surprised. I mean, Washington would get through his troubles. But knowing the Cardinals, he might not be here long. You know what I mean? He's got a four-game suspension. And the Bidwells, they really don't put up with those games, you know. If you ever notice, I mean, you hear about a lot of players getting in trouble. But hardly any Cardinals getting in trouble.
Because nobody watches the Cardinals unless you live in Arizona.
No. But even being here, I mean, Cardinals don't get in trouble. I mean, you got Dockett that's tweeting stuff out. But, I mean, who takes it seriously? You know what I mean? You know, he tweets about his gun on his front seat. I mean, we're in Arizona. It's a right. You can carry a gun, you know. But as far as guys really getting, I can't think of one other than this situation right here.
Has he been convicted yet? Like, is it? For sure.
But you don't even hear about the situations coming up. You know what I mean? That you don't hear about the situations coming up with the Cardinals. I mean, this is the first one I can actually say I've heard of. You know, in their war room, they have a board there, and they have all the players that they want to draft. And on there, they've got these dots. And I don't know if it's top secret or not. But anyway, it was Rod Graves' system, so I guess I can expose it now since he's not there. But anyway, there was like a dot for did the kid have trouble on campus? Did he have trouble with the police on campus? There was another dot, color dot, that said, you know, did the kid have trouble with the courts, you know, with the real police? Then there was another one for injuries and another one for, you know.
That kind of stuff, that's not a secret. You know, board or anything, that's kind of across the league. Because you look at Manti Te'o and the whole hoax with this girlfriend situation.
No, my point being is that they are very cautious about those.
Well, you can ask any of the 32 GMs in the league. They all go through that same process when they screen kids.
Well, no, I'm talking about the process, but I'm talking about the Cardinals being extremely cautious about who they pick. Just like Cincinnati, they picked Vontaze Burfict last year. You know, they took him. Cardinals wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, you talk about Cardinals being cautious. Why take Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger? Why take him?
I guarantee you that he was talked to. I guarantee you that Larry has talked to him. And I guarantee you that Peterson talked to him.
Oh, I mean, before he even got drafted, Peterson was talking to him.
And you know what? He had the whole year off to recoup, to get his stuff together.
He still messed up back in October.
He had the whole year. Huh?
He still messed up back in October.
This past, what did he do?
Yes. Got caught with weed. Same thing he got busted for before.
In October?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. You can smoke weed out here in Arizona. It's medical. Ain't that right?
I mean, I'm just saying. You talk about the teams being cautious.
We all be blazing out here. No, I mean, kidding.
But we'll see. You know, that's a big pick. You know, you had me and Ira watching.
Well, his talent.
He's a ball hawk.
Yeah, his talent outshines his troubles.
Return game as well.
Yeah,
that return game is nasty.
Yeah. So is Peterson's. What did he do last year? I mean, Peterson was on fire last year, you know. So
I guess Mathieu had to learn it from somebody, right?
Yeah. Peterson probably had an influence on that pick.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did. Because when they called him and they were talking to him, he said he's spoken with Patrick. He's spoken with Larry. He's been working out with those guys. So he already knows a couple people here, but it's just a matter of making sure his attitude stays right. He stays in the gym.
He'll get out here and they'll take him under their wings. You know, it's like is it Michael Ford or Floyd? Michael Ford that came out from Minnesota last year. The receiver
Floyd probably. Yeah.
He you know, he stayed with Larry, worked out with Larry. You know, and they got to learn the ropes. You know, got to learn what to do. It's those players that get here don't know anyone, and then they get their own place. And what do I do? And then they meet up with the wrong people.
Across the
league,
I mean, you always have. That one veteran, you have that guy. You look at Green Bay, they have Donald Driver. Every year they bring in a rookie. This year it's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy. They're going to be working together. he's going to take him under his wing.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times, some of these players, like free agents and stuff like that, they're not that lucky to get someone.
Now, that's a different story, though. Free agents are guys who were not as big in college. But the guys round one through four, maybe five, the guys that slip a little bit, those guys will get talked to by veterans.
Well, I'm sure the veterans will talk to all of them, but what I'm saying is for a veteran to take them under their wing, you know what I mean?
Well, it just depends on the organization, the player.
And, the player, you're right, the player.
It just comes down to how much they want to win. And with the Cardinals being here in Arizona.
Well, what kind of personality that kid's got, you know? He might be somebody they don't want to fool with, you know?
Patrick and Tyron, that was a big duo back in their LSU days. You know, you watched them
together. Where is Kime from? Is he from the South? Do you know? The personnel director for the Cardinals?
I'm not sure.
Anybody know?
I have no idea.
Huh.
You talking front office stuff. I talk on the field stuff.
Yeah, so. But, you know, a lot of times these guys, you know, if they're from a region, you know, if they believe in a division, you know, SEC or something like that, you know, they tend to just draft from that.
One third of the entire draft this year was from the SEC.
Right.
That's,
right.
I mean, the most competitive, the most NFL look-alike.
How many guys went out of ASU? Anybody get drafted out of ASU?
I don't think any guys got drafted out of ASU. Brandon McGee, the biggest name out of ASU, went to Dallas. You know,
as a free agent.
Yeah,
yeah. And the kid Wheaton, he's from here.
Yeah, he's from Chandler.
He ran for the Cheetahs.
He ran for the Cheetahs and he played at Chandler High.
Did he really?
Good kid.
And what college did he go to?
Oregon State.
Okay, now he's in.
We recognized him at our Chandler Spotlight dinner a couple of years ago, and he was electric that night, and came with his nice suit and had his Oregon State hat as we gave to him, and then he went off and boom, 4 years, crazy, 4 years have passed already.
Oh, tell me about it.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. Time flies.
You know, I you say 4 years have gone by. You know, we were talking about track. We should go out there every night, track practice. That was a while ago.
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, which spotlight dinner was it? Was it the one where you had Michael Richardson speak and Calais speak?
Yes, that's the one that he came to.
Really?
Yeah. Something else, huh?
Wow. I've got him on tape somewhere, I think. Wow.
That's right. You were there with the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good that we can't find the photos.
I'll have to find that tape.
There's a disc somewhere.
So he's in what position did he play?
Wide receiver.
Receiver.
Yeah, he was electric there. He ran track as well.
And now he's in. Did he get drafted or he?
Yeah, he got drafted. He got third round pick. Third round pick. The best team in the NFL.
Your opinion.
Definitely your opinion.
Wow, that's.
But I will give you this: 6 rings. So that's about all you can say of that. I mean,
who has the most rings?
Steelers.
Oh well,
six. I mean,
I guess.
But it comes down to
how long they've been in business.
Best team, or. Over the years, is it the best team? Because they just got, what, one or two the past couple of years? Something like that.
We've been on a few Super Bowls recently. Yeah. So we lost to Green Bay and knocked off the Colts. So, yeah, they're a solid team, you know.
Yeah. Well, boys,
I support the Cardinals as well
Bowl.
Here. So.
Well, boys haven't been to the Super Bowl since 2002, so I can't really say much.
What were the biggest busts? What do you dislike the most out of the draft? The picks. Which pick do you think was the worst call?
Ah, man. I'd probably say Geno Smith dropping in the second round. That's scary.
Do you think him going to New York is a bad call, or do you think somebody whiffed on him and didn't pick him?
I think Buffalo whiffed on him. That'll probably be a bust right there, E.J. Manuel. But I like E.J. Manuel.
Yeah.
Because it's the Bills. Nobody watches the Bills. Nobody goes to the Bills games. So we'll see what they want to do there. Maybe they want to build around him and Cobb. Maybe Cobb.
They're going to get more people there. The people that go to the Bills game are the people that go to the Bills game.
All five of them.
And ain't nobody else going to go to Buffalo to watch a game in the snow. You going to go to Orchard Park to go watch a game?
No interest in going to Orchard Park.
I know. Yeah,
but we'll see. It just depends on how those teams decide to work with those guys and how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the break, we can talk about the Jets and their organization and what they're doing. But E.J. Manuel out of Florida State, able-bodied kid, big kid, good arm. Attitude is okay, but it's
well. I'm kind of thinking Geno Smith's attitude's not too good.
I can talk a whole hour on Geno Smith's attitude.
He really showed himself, didn't he? He really showed.
You don't tweet before you get drafted.
Yeah, and firing your agent and all that stuff.
It's just a matter of maturity.
Really? Yeah, and you know that's another thing we forget. Just because they're writing them big checks, we forget they're 23 year old kids still, you know, and they really haven't lived. You know, they've been on campus where people have been catering to them, and you know, I don't know what a football program is about, but I mean, I'm sure. Don't they get to eat anything they want? I mean, they go to the cafeteria and they eat, and they get their dorm rooms and people help them with their homework.
You look at Alabama's program a couple years ago with the quarterback they had out there and the O-line. That was a family right there. Not just a team, a family. Always together, always eating together, always supporting each other. So you look at organizations in college and what they do together, it's amazing. You know, they're not really taught attitude is essential. They just say, go play. Don't worry about your homework. We'll get it done for you. Just go play on the field.
But don't you think that's changed a lot, though, the homework thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Character and academics is big.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big now. So, you know, that's...
And I would think a lot of these kids going into these programs would want to get a degree. You know what I mean? But, you know, what do you think? Well, you know what? I bet you it depends on the division. You know? I don't want to say in the SEC.
Yes, they, SEC.
Huh?
You look at the SEC... And the guys that go to Alabama, that go to Florida, they're not there to get their degrees. I'm gonna go here for 3 years, and I'm gonna come out, and I'm gonna get drafted, and I'm gonna get paid millions.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you look at the MAC, they go there. I'm gonna do 4 or 5 years here. I'm gonna get my degree. I'll enter the draft, and if I get drafted, cool. If I don't, I've got something to fall back on, because they know that their competition isn't as tough as the SEC.
No, why do you say that about the SEC?
Look at the draft.
Hold that thought. Wait, let's go to break. I want to hear this. Hey, roll the music, Mr. Engineer. And we'll be back in 90. Keep it where you got it here on Planet Gridiron Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Get ahead in business and life. Read Getting It Done, 1,000 of the Best-Kept Secrets for Success in Business and Life by John Capozzi. Learn how John, a successful Connecticut businessman, obtained 13 corporate promotions in 13 years. This book makes a fantastic gift for anyone who wants to get ahead in business. Voice America will donate a portion of every copy sold to the USO. Visit GettingItDone.com and enter promo code VA1234 at checkout to get a 10% discount. That's GettingItDone.com, promo code VA1234 for a 10% discount today.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football is.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav. That's presented to you by Outdoor Channel.
On this week's program, we'll have Gary Hamby from Deer Dirt and outdoor writer Scott Bestial, and he'll tell us how to use chainsaws for deer management.
Hey, we also have another outdoor writer, David Hart, and Brent Eaton with Polaris. Hello, Polaris.
When we talk about hood plots and deer management.
And as always, it's brought to you by Outdoor Channel and Ram Trucks.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Sports here on Voice America, the leader in internet media. Before we went to break, we were talking about the SEC and why Sheldon thought these players would go to the SEC and not worry about their degree. So, what do you think? Why do you say that?
Because of the competition. Strictly competition. I mean, the fact that Alabama's competing every single year, you look at those kids. What was Eddie Lacy, a junior or a senior this year? And he came out. Has he graduated yet?
And do you think he'll go back?
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, that is. Do you think he'll go back and finish his degree? At what? Well, better yet, let me ask you this: at what point do you think he will realize that he needs an education? That football will be over?
His fourth year in the league.
Okay.
After Green Bay has done their damage, and he's not being as effective as they think he's going to be, he's gonna think then, man, I should have stayed in school. I should have graduated. Mm-hmm. And then he'll go back and pay off what he's got to pay off, get his degree, and probably end up working, back home.
They let him go back and finish at any time, don't they? A lot of these universities?
Some do.
Yeah.
You can go
back. Andrew Luck, I mentioned it last week, Andrew Luck went back to Stanford, and the Colts helped him finish school and helped him graduate.
No, that was like right after the draft.
That was his senior year, and he finished. The Colts paid for him to go back to school. They sent him his playbook, and he finished school.
I don't think they paid for it. I think he was still on Stanford's money. Well, you know what I mean? Because he was still in school. He was still on Stanford's money. Because a lot of these schools will let a guy, even if they're 2, 3, 4 years out of school, removed from school, if they didn't finish, they'll let them come back. I know Northwestern's one of those places where you can go back and finish up, and I guess that tail end of your scholarship. Yeah.
We were talking about Geno Smith earlier and his education out at West Virginia. He won't go back until he realizes his situation.
Did he not finish?
I think he was a junior.
Oh, really?
I think he was a junior. Uh-huh. But just his maturity and his attitude is going to reflect that in the league.
There's a thought in around the league or, players. You know, we send our kids to school. We send our kids to, get good grades in school, go to school, play sports. But we do that, and even the kids that aren't playing sports, to maximize their earning potential. And when that train comes along, and here's a chance for you to sign a multi-million-dollar contract, and you don't have a degree, What do you do? Yeah, you take it.
You sign it. Matt Barkley, if he's listening, he should realize his mistake now. He should have came out last year.
Now you're talking. Well, you're talking. Now that's a different class. Kind of like Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck the year before. I don't know if he'd have gotten more money. Matt Barkley last year probably got more money. But they're from different classes. They already have money.
Luck got the same amount of money.
You take a kid from the other side of the tracks, never had nothing, you know what I mean? And here's $40 million. Guess what? Mom, grandma, and all your uncles are saying, sign the contract.
Well, right? Luck could have come out as a junior. He would have been the number one.
But Luck has money. Luck's dad has money.
He wants his own money. He wants his own money, though. So he stays another year.
He doesn't know what it feels like to be poor. You know, in other words, he doesn't
Barkley knows now.
He doesn't need... You know what I mean? Like the kid from the other side of the tracks. I don't know why I say other side of the tracks, but the kid that doesn't have or the family that doesn't have, they have needs. They have desperate needs. As for Luck, he didn't have desperate needs. Luck went to camps every summer and went on vacations, tour Europe and, all that stuff. Just like the Manning boys, Did any of those guys come out early or they stayed in all 4 years? They did it all. Yeah, see, so it's a kind of a different situation, which, money sometimes can hurt things. But anyway, go ahead.
I still think that Luck didn't cost himself any money, whether you think he has money or not. He came out, he's an adult now, he's making his own money. He got paid because he's...
I'm not saying Luck cost himself any money. All I'm saying is when he had the opportunity to come out, he chose not to. He didn't because he didn't have to. He didn't have to. There was no hunger. There was no thirst there.
Well, Barkley kind of coming out of Southern California, going to USC. I still think he cost himself a lot of money.
He knows he did. Yeah, I'm sure.
He didn't go till day three in the draft. Mm-hmm. So that's his fault. Geno Smith dropping from what he believed, in his words, should have been the number one pick. Well, he was the number one pick in the second round. But then it comes down to a team's needs and the best player available. I don't think the Jets needed Geno Smith.
You're right there. However, a lot has to do with the agent, has to do with the team. A lot of components that go into – sometimes a team would draft a guy just because. You know what I mean? Best available. Now tell me, Geno Smith, is he a great athlete or not? Is he a great and a smart athlete, right? He's a smart athlete.
He's a very good athlete.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that he's the new Tim Tebow of New York. With Tim Tebow being cut, he's the new Tim Tebow of New York. Just because of the fact that he's an athlete. Can he play quarterback in Rex Ryan's system behind Mark Sanchez? That's Mark Sanchez's job to
so
lose.
So are his days numbered like Tebow's?
I wouldn't say his days. I would say Mark Sanchez's days are numbered, because as soon as Mark starts to mess up, Geno's going to step in, and that's going to be his.
Oh, they're just waiting for the opportunity to throw him in. Well, they're waiting for the opportunity. You know what? I'd kind of like to have Sanchez out here.
You want everybody out here.
No,
though.
No. I just want Sanchez out here. He's Southern Cal, you know, but I doubt if they'll bring him out.
It's the Cardinals organization. I mean, put me in the front office up there. I'll do a better job than them.
You think so?
I think so.
You so? Okay.
Come on now.
I'm going to tell Mr. Kahn's that when we
Let
see him.
Know.
I'm going to tell
that.
I'm going to tell him. But anyway, Dee, it was great having you here today. Any parting words?
No, just, you know, appreciate you guys having me. You know,
thanks for being here.
Kids out there, just continue to compete in the classroom and on the football field.
That's the most important thing, competing in the classroom. You know, it's like you were saying during the break, you know, you guys are now starting to stress, handle your business in the classroom to these players. Because how many scholarships were here in Arizona?
I think it was like 120 scholarships. That was D1, D2, and D3.
Out of how many students?
300, 400 high schools.
Yeah, and a lot of the kids didn't get their scholarships because of academics.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I really think that, and everybody knows that the classroom is so important, because especially in football, you know, anything could happen at any moment, and you're going to have to know how to do something. If anything, you know, I was speaking with a player that was up to go in the draft. Well, he was in the draft, and I said, "What did you major in?" And he says, education or psychology or communications or something like that. And I said, "Did you take any business class?" He goes, "No, that's not for me." And I said, "You know, in about 2 weeks, it's going to be you, because right. you're going to get a check, and you're going to need to know what to do with it, and you're going to need to know what these other people are doing with it, you know?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I can't imagine no one ever speaking to him about that, or any of these other guys, no one telling him, you know. Take a business. I think everybody should take business. Take a business class.
Me being, you know, essentially fresh out of high school, you know, year or two removed, whatever it may be, at this age, you're not thinking school if you're an athlete. You're thinking, I'm going to get a scholarship based on my potential, based on my talent, which then you got the other kids, you know, sitting behind you thinking, you're not that good. I'm better than you. Your grades aren't good enough, you know, that kind of situation. And growing up, you were the all-star in PB football. You were the all-star in junior high. Come high school, you're still the all-star, but you don't have grades. And so as soon you keep your grades up just enough to play, and as soon as the season's over, you don't get any scholarships, you don't get any calls. You get one call from a D3 school. I'm not D3. I'm a D1 athlete.
Then your ego gets in the way.
Now you're in the oil fields for the rest of your life. You don't go to school. So, I mean, it comes down to how much the parents are pushing the children, how much if he is that guy who they can go to, and he is just an outstanding athlete, of course his grades aren't going to be as good, because he's going to have his friends do it for him.
I wouldn't say in all cases. I think you have those great athletes. But, you know, it's more than the parents pushing, because we can only say and do so much.
This age, football is typically a male sport. You have girls who do play. But a 17-year-old male playing football, come on. We all know how that goes.
Well, no, I think, you know, like, hey, hold the music there a second, engineer. You did it, Dee. And I feel that I've done it with Ira. You get the kid to buy in on the program. And the kid buys in where he values his education. And so he values it. He looks, or she, looks at their GPA, and they own it. They come to you and say, you know, I got a 3.5, you know, and it looks like I'll be at a 3.7 after this semester or after this grading period. That's when you know you've crossed that bridge, when they start owning their education. You know what I mean?
If you're able to do that with kids.
And there are a lot of parents that actually get that done. They actually get that done with their kids. But anyway, we were rolling music there. Didn't mean to cut you off there. But anyway, we're rolling music. He's telling us we got to get going. You need the studio for someone else? Just kidding. All right, roll the music, Mr. Engineer.
Once again, thank you, Dee, for being here.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. And we'll see you all next Friday here on Planet Gridiron Sports. Next weekend at noon, right?
Yes, sir.
Follow Sheldon on Facebook. Look him up.
Sheldon Hill on Facebook.
And you got a tweet? You got a Twitter?
Yeah, I got a Twitter. Sheldon Hill.
Sheldon Hill at Twitter. So follow him there, and he'll tell you a little more about what we'll have next week here on Planet Gridiron. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.